Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at Target.com/circle card.
Look how fucking skinny you are. This is what I hate about you. I love you, but I hate how you can diet for 10 days and look this skinny.
I also quit smoking weed and drinking booze too. So that
I know
a lot
you threw
to
a lot
it.
Of you threw a lot of you threw a lot at it, but dude, yeah. You look great.
You look great. Yeah, you look
feeling
great. Man.
Good.
Hell yeah.
This is a lot of fun, man. I had no idea that I would get this much love for being in a Powerpuff Girls reboot, man.
You got so much chatter. People are so happy for you. I don't know anything about the Powerpuff Girls. I know it's very popular, but I missed it. So tell us about it.
So the Powerpuff Girls are three superhero little girls that were created by Professor Utonium. And, you know, in the cartoon, I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen the cartoon a few times, not a lot.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Donald.
So my research is beginning with watching the cartoon. Like, I was watching it with Rock, because Rocco was a huge fan of the Powerpuff, the remake of the Powerpuff Girls. Like, they did one when Joelle was a baby, I guess.
That is true. That is true.
And then they just remade the Powerpuff Girls also. So Rocco's a big fan of Teen Titans Go and Powerpuff Girls.
Was it always aimed at little kids, or was it a grown-up thing as well?
It's like, if you've ever watched Teen Titans Go, it's aimed for, or SpongeBob, it's aimed at kids, but there are some jokes in there. There are a lot of jokes in every episode that parents will laugh at while watching with their kids.
Right.
I got to tell you, man, I'm really excited that people enjoyed the fact that I'm going to be in this. I'm so geeked about it. You know, I'm really, you know, I've tried to stay off of, you know, the message boards and stuff like that where, you know, some of the hate can dwell.
Yeah, why would you go do that? Don't do that.
Yeah, I refuse to do it. I refuse to let the haters bring me down. But I imagine there are some people that aren't excited about me playing Professor Drake Utonium. And that's cool. You can eat a dick.
There you go.
Are you in rehearsals at this point, or what's happening?
Yeah, so we're doing a bunch of rehearsals. We're doing camera tests and wardrobe fittings.
And you start tomorrow?
No! More rehearsal tomorrow, more camera shoots, photo shoots, and we don't start shooting actually until, well, I can't tell you, but we start shooting soon.
Okay, good. Well, dude, I'm so happy for you. And I, as someone who loves you, I was so happy about all the love you were getting on the interweb. I saw you were getting lots of adoration.
Yeah, same all here. Love. I love that. I love that. Dude, how's work going, man?
I shot 3 days of Cheaper by the Dozen, and it's the dreamiest job ever. I love Gab Union. She has our exact sense of humor. She should come on the podcast one day. She's fucking hilarious and cool. And the kids couldn't be sweeter. I mean, knock wood, it's too good to be true. I love my director. I love, you know, the hours because of the children. We can only do 10-hour days, so that's kind of dreamy.
That's great.
You have like a normal life. And I don't know, man. It's just so fun. I think the script, Kenya Barris wrote such a funny script. I, you know, sometimes you start a project and go, okay, well, we'll make the script better as we go. And this is just really great. It's just going to be such a perfect family movie. And, but, you know, and as well as having Kenya's signature discussions of race done in such an elegant way, because of course, if you're going to have a biracial family, you can't deny the things that will come up, and he doesn't. And so I'm just really stoked to be a part of it. I'm really, really happy.
That's great, man. I'm so
By the way, we're recording this on Sunday, but this airs on Tuesday. So guess what? It's my birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
The morning sun is saying.
I feel really good.
Holy cow, in the day.
I'm very happy it's my birthday. I feel really good. I'm on this awesome health kick, which is really, I must say, those of you listening who know, when you go on a health kick, obviously your body gets in shape, but I just feel a better in my mind and brain and just happier overall. This year kicked so many of our asses. Mm. And as we come out of it a little bit, I'm so excited that I used the excuse of the movie to get in shape. I jokingly said I want to look.
Dude, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, man. I saw pictures. Holy shit, Zach.
Don't build it up too much.
You're pretty close to Brad Pitt Fight Club.
Shut up. Wow. No.
Y'all think I'm joking. Zach, throw up the picture so the people can see it. I'm not lying. Where's the lie, bud?
It's not ready for a reveal yet, but I do have to say, turning 46, when I had a couple people over, including Casey yesterday, for just to toast me. Well, actually, my girlfriend surprised me. But, it was nice to hear a handful of people being like, oh, shit. And I was like, yeah.
Dude, you don't even have love handles anymore, man. What the fuck is going on with you?
No, well, I've never done, you know, listen, I can give everyone the tricks. The tricks are just diet and fucking giving up booze.
Yeah. Are you?
And of course, exercise.
Is this the best shape you've ever been in your life?
Yeah. Yeah. And it took, and it took 7 weeks, by the way. And I'm still going. Like, it's like, you know, it's like anything. It's a hobby that if you get into, if you find a, here's my trick that I've done for those of you listening who like are dreading getting in any kind of shape. I just said, what if I try and find a way to make it fun this time? Build it around things I like doing.
Okay.
I like spinning. Like, we, you know, spinning is, if you can't afford a Peloton bike, you know, get on a bicycle or find something that, or in Donald's case, he used to play basketball. I love when I can play tennis. Find something that's fun to do and then build around that. So I genuinely enjoy Peloton. I think it's fun. I come off feeling high. I just made that a regular part of my and then I started researching healthy foods that I think taste good. So you can find a protein shake that tastes awesome. It's the best thing I eat all day. Mm-hmm. I look forward to it. And guess what? It's amazing for you. So
Have you cut a bunch of like foods that you were eating before out of your diet? Like, you had talked about how you're no longer eating like red meat. And
well, here's the thing. This is going to branch off into a whole other thing. And I promise to do the short version because we got your mom coming on.
On this piece.
Yes.
So wait, let me hear it before we get to her.
Well, I really am thinking about seriously changing my diet because of the documentary I watched, Seaspiracy, which I recommended last time, which I really encourage you to watch. I'm not telling you to change your diet at all, listener, but I do think it's important to learn about the food industry. And I'm embarrassed to admit that I made it 46 years knowing nothing about how our food is made. Right. And it was a combination of three documentaries, Game Changers, Seaspiracy, and Eating Animals, which I just watched last night, which Natalie Portman narrates because she's very into health. And I just didn't know about factory farming. I didn't, like everyone, you see the pictures of the farmers in the grocery store and you go, that's where our food and livestock comes from. And
but
I was just in denial about it. And the fishing, I'll be pescatarian. Fish are great. Everything is so healthy. And then you can watch three documentaries in 6 hours and go, holy shit, I didn't know any of that.
Right.
And so it's inspired me, especially being on a health kick, to be like, well, I'm changing. We're coming out of this pandemic. We're coming out of this insane year-long hibernation. Why not try some new ways of being? And that's what I'm taking on.
Amen.
Love that. I love that.
And I will say, even though this is very hard for a lot of people, and I get it, the one of the most powerful things I've done is take this alcohol break. It increases my mood over time, even because I think of like alcohol as a depressant, right? So if you drink a lot of alcohol regularly, every day, every other day, whatever you do, I feel like you are, think of it like instead of people taking an antidepressant, you're taking a depressant regularly.
Right.
And it's sort of putting a little bit of a cloud over your life.
Well, same thing with weed.
Right. But let me just finish the point. And the point is that you might stop for a week and go, okay, I did it. I made it a week. But you're not really seeing the effects, because just like if you start taking an antidepressant, it's going to take about a month for you to feel the effects. If you stop taking a depressant, I find that a month in, 6 weeks in, 7 weeks in, you really start to go, wow, I'm genuinely overall in a better mood.
Right on.
So
love that.
That's my speech. That's my soapbox.
Yeah, it's all good, man. You know, I'm on the same kick right now. And, you know, I'm using Powerpuff as a jump off for it, but I like the way I feel right now. Like, yeah. I was smoking way too much weed, like way too much weed. So much weed that I had really bad withdrawals from it. And, you know, people act like that doesn't exist, but it really does. Mm-hmm. And my wife went down the rabbit hole and found all of these natural remedies to combat my withdrawals. So within 3 days, I was good to go.
Oh, what are those natural remedies?
You want to put potassium back into your system because at night you sweat like a banshee. You know what I mean? Drink a lot of water. You want to hydrate.
Yeah. I see you got that that thing I have with all the inspirational words.
Dude,
on
this
it.
Is my second day doing it. I'm already I'm almost done with this bad boy.
Oh, good for you.
By 9 o'clock tonight, this shit is gone.
I know. Yeah. Well, when you get one of those, if you guys were talking about those like 2 liter things you can get on the internet, and they have like drink it by this time, you know, have the times, and then it says like, you got this, keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so silly because it's like a kid, it's like doing it for a kid, but it makes it a bit of a game. Like, can I get there by 5? Can I get there by 6? You know.
Oh, you know what I do? This is the easiest way to do it. So I wake up in the morning, and I drink to 7. Right. That's the first thing. Now, if I wake up after 7, I'll drink to 9, right? And so at 9 o'clock, I'll drink again, and I'll drink all the way down to 11. And then at 11 o'clock, I'll drink again, and I'll drink all the way down to 1. So by the time I get to 7 p.m. at night, I'm finished with the bottle before 9 o'clock.
That's good. Then you can pee it all out, so you don't have to get up.
So I don't have to get up because
you do have to get used to having a new relationship with urinating because it's kind of always on your mind. But it's a small price to pay.
Yes, but you know what? My goal now is to make it to the bathroom and stay asleep and still be able to pee in the toilet without getting it all over the bathroom. I've succeeded a couple of times. There have been times where I woke up in the morning to go to the bathroom. I was like, God damn, I just missed everything. Anyway.
Hey, did you see the new Black Widow trailer, any of you?
Oh, it looks amazing.
Oh, hell yes. Oh, I watched it like 4 amazing. Times. Oh,
but you guys don't worry about it. You guys don't worry about it because you're going to go see In the Heights.
Oh, my God.
That's
double
just on
feature. I think we
that's
decided.
Just I really got to say, I know I'm biased, but I thought that trailer was fucking awesome.
It looked amazing.
Dude, it looks amazing. Are you kidding me? With her, that moment excited. Where she's free falling out of the plane.
Yes.
And I like how she's just holding the parachute like with her hand. Like right. I know I'm gonna need this. I'm not even gonna put it on. I know I'm gonna need it later. But
that's awesome.
So fly. It's, so
yeah.
Good.
It looks.
Let's.
Amazing.
We should probably get my mom in here. Let's start the show,
it,
right?
Do it. Do
First
it.
Of all, before we do that, DJ Daniel, Joel, Monique, what is good with y'all?
Hi.
How's it been this whole week?
Listen, I'm just excited to talk to your mom. I want to get all the good backstories. I want to know what you were like as a kid. I want to know about her career. She's an incredible.
Yeah, her career is what's really exciting for me.
All right, let's count in and bring her in.
All right, here we go. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my mom, the one and only Shirley Faison! Where is she? Is she
there?
Ma?
Hi. Yeah, let me just put my video on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, she is. Hey,
hello,
Mama.
Hello, Shirley Faison.
How are you, Mama?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I spoke to you yesterday, but still. Hey!
Hey!
That picture behind you, is that me in junior high school? I think so, right? There's way too
it's
much
junior
hair.
Junior high school. Junior high school right there. Yeah.
Right on. Hi, Shirley.
Hey, Zach Braff. How are you?
It's good to see you, beautiful. It's been far too long.
Oh, I know.
Mom, that's Joelle, and that is Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Thank you,
Shirley. Thank you so much for coming on. We had my mom on, and we just wanted to have you on because not only do we want to talk to you about a young Donald Faison and tell us all the good stories, but also, you know, my mom is a psychologist, so we asked her some psychology questions, and we have so many people that talk to us about getting into the business as actors, and we thought we could pick your brain for people that watch and listen to this about what it's like being an agent in the business.
Yes.
So, Mom, okay. Have you ever listened to the podcast?
Yes. Have you
yes,
ever
I
listened?
Have. Yes, I have.
How many times have you listened to this podcast, Mom?
Would you like for me to be honest?
Yes, I would.
Yes, absolutely.
3.
Thank you for each and every listen.
Indeed. Thank you for all 3 times.
But Shirley, did you laugh at least?
Yes, I did.
All right, good.
Yes, I did.
Okay, I think we should start from the very, as Zach always says, start at the very,
at the very beginning. A very good place to start.
When you sing, you begin with
Do, Re, Mi.
Oh, no, but it's not when you sing. It's when you...
When you... What is the lyric?
Read, you begin. When you read, you begin
with
A, B, C. And when you sing, you begin with Do,
Do, Re, Mi. All right, so Donald, what beginning do you want to start at? Let's talk about how young Donald always talks about the theater you and your ex-husband ran. Can you tell us, like, how that came about and what it was like Donald hanging out in the young theater? Because that's clear. He mentions that all the time as being very impactful about what got him interested in the arts.
Well, I became a part of the theater when I was
let's for all of the people that out there that don't know what the theater is, it's the National Black Theater in Harlem.
Harlem, yes. So I became a part of the National Black Theater after they performed at my college. I was at Rutgers University, and they performed on my college campus, and that's how I was introduced to them. And then I came to New York and I became a part of National Black Theater. When I had, I called Donald Shoon.
It's all right. They know that.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
They know. So, they've been told.
Shoon. They know how. They even know how to spell it correctly, Mom.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So when I had Shoon, Shoon would come to all the rehearsals. I was a performer back then, and Shoon would come to all the rehearsals, and he would sit in the front row of all the performances, and actually, he almost got beat up by one of the actors because he would say their lines before they did.
I can picture it.
Yeah, and so he would be in the front row saying the lines before the actors would say them, and the actors would get very angry with him because he was saying their lines before they could even say them.
Right. But let me ask you a question, Mom. At what point were you like, I got to get him out of the front row and onto the stage? That's a good question.
When did you start realizing that he might want to, I mean, obviously if he's sitting in the front row and mouthing along, you might have a sense that he's into this. But when did you push him on stage?
No, but when he was a baby and he would be in the stroller, well, the strollers then, they were like I want to say like little cages, I guess. But they had...
Mom, you put me in a cage?
No. They had, you know, they had these feet things where, you know, the feet would rest on a part of the stroller. And he, when you would push him in the stroller, he would raise his hand like he was in a chariot and like there was a horse in front of him. So you always knew that, I always knew that he liked to improvise. He liked to imagine. So as part of the theater, we created a children's school. It was called the Children's School of the Development of Intuitive and God-Conscious Art. And all the kids, what they did was they performed and they created plays. And so he, I wish I had the video.
I'm sure we could find it. If you do, send it to me and I'll post it.
Oh yeah, we'll post it on our Instagram.
Right. And he would perform. He was so into it. Like all the other kids would be singing and dancing, but he would be really into it. He would like put 199% into his performances. We knew then that he was destined that he wanted to do it.
And then Shirley, when did you start submitting him for auditions as a child? How old was he?
Oh no, he didn't start doing that until he was 12 years old.
Boy, you got that one commercial that I always joke about. The
he was 12. He was 12.
Oh, he was 12 when he got folded. Yeah. You so have been away a long time. Surely, I've got his line memorized for decades now.
But you know what?
Have been away a long time.
But you know what, though? He went and got... Okay, we had a neighbor that lived on the floor above us who was a photographer.
And her son was a big-time actor.
Right. And so she took his photograph. He had two photo. He had like the two proofs.
Yeah.
He took one of the proofs, and he went to Abrams Artists.
That's where I was.
Yeah, he went to Abrams Artists. He was 12 years old. They sent him on an audition. He had his bus pass. He went to the audition with his bus pass. He got a callback. He went to the callback. He booked it. He said, "Ma, they told me I need to bring a guardian now."
You don't have to bring a guardian to the audition, but if you get the job, you got to get the job.
So he booked his first audition. It was Oatmeal Raisin Crisp.
Look what they've done to my oatmeal.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know you'd gotten more. I just always assumed you only got one commercial. You got multiple.
No, the first audition I ever went out for was this new cereal that was coming out called Oatmeal Raisin Crisp. And I remember... I was just like, I'm just going to sing. I'd never heard the song. It was like, look what they've done. It's an old song. And I was like, I'm just going to sing. And I remember singing it and then being like, oh, he's so adorable. And then what I did on the audition wasn't exactly what I had to do in the commercial. Like in the commercial, I had to be like, look what they've done to oatmeal. And in the audition, I remember in the audition, I was like, look what they've done to oatmeal. Look what they've done to oatmeal. Now, for goodness sake, they got them crispy flakes with a whole new taste appeal. Yeah, look what they've done to oatmeal. Right, and so that's what I did. I pretty much went on the audition and was like trying to Christina Aguilera the part. Just like,
but it worked, you got it.
And I got it. And then when I got to the audition, to the actual shoot, I tried to do that. And they were like, no. Your line is, look what they've done to oatmeal. And I was
stop
like,
singing. Stop right. singing.
So I was like, and you have to do it in like, and you have to do it in 5 seconds or 3 seconds. And I was like, oh, shucks. So the commercial comes out and, you know, it's the quickest thing ever at the end of every one of them, too. And it played everywhere for such a long time. Look what they've done to oatmeal. And that was it.
Oh, I got to look that one up on YouTube.
You can find it, I'm sure.
I've only seen that one.
And then after that was TurboGrafx-16, right?
I don't remember.
It was that TurboGrafx-16, which was like right around the time Sega came out and all of that stuff. And then came the Folgers Coffee commercial. Oh, no, wait. Folgers came before TurboGrafx. That's right. I take that back.
So Shirley, what was it like as a mom? You know, this business is so close to impossible. And then here's your 12-year-old booking commercials. That must have been exciting.
Well, I was running a theater, and so I couldn't take him. So I would hire the actors to take him to his shoots because I couldn't go.
Mm.
So
you really never got to experience it other than watching it, huh? Except for when we did the Folgers commercial. You did come with me to that.
I did go to the Folgers commercial. And I went to Washington, D.C. when you shot the Polaroid commercial that never aired.
That never aired, right.
Right,
I remember
yeah.
that too.
So I did go to that one. But I never, one time he would go to California and test. I never went.
Yeah,
I went once. Yeah, once.
That was when Tevin Campbell blew me out the water. No, Grandma was with me when that happened.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
So I went on an audition back in the day for this Quincy Jones pilot, right? And it was about the dude who got the star of the show was Skippy from Family Ties. Remember Skippy, Alex's
yeah.
best friend?
Yeah.
So he's the lead on the show, and he plays this record producer or something like that. And out of New York, I was the one that made it out of New York, but I had to go to L.A. I get to L.A.
How old are you at this point?
Yeah, I'm not even in high school yet. You know what I mean?
But so you had to have a guardian to fly with you?
Yes. And so
My
grandmother went with me, right? And, you know, we get there, and I'm feeling good. I'm singing in the audition. I come out to Tina Arnold's there, and she's like, wow, that was really good. Now, I had seen her in Little Shop already. She was in Little Shop of Horror already, and she was in all of these other things. And I was like, holy cow, a bona fide celebrity, a bona fide star told me I did a good job on this audition. So I'm like, I think I got this. I go to L.A. with my grandmother. We walk in. Tisha Campbell's at the audition. Like, now it's like big leagues. Now it's like, holy cow, everybody is here. And there's these two kids there that are auditioning for my part, but I had never heard of them. One's name was Rahsaan Patterson, and the other kid's name was Tevin Campbell. And I'm like, there's no way these two suckers is going to be me for this part. I can't wait to go in. So Rahsaan Patterson goes in first, crushes. I'm like, he was good.
You can hear him through the walls?
Yes. But I'm like, I got this. Tevin Campbell goes in next. Now, I don't know if you people out there know who Tevin Campbell is. Tevin Campbell's the one that sang... that
Can
song.
Can we talk for a minute?
Not just that, but at the time, I guess tomorrow will bring a better you, a better me. I know that we'll show this world, right? Whatever that song was. And then after that, he's had songs like, Can we talk for a minute? Girl, I want to know your name. Right? He's had several
Jerome's
hits.
Jerome's going to light a lighter pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Several hits since then. He goes in and fucking slays. Now, when I say...
And you have to go after him.
Yes. Now, I go in, the piano player is not in my key, and he's singing, he's playing the shit real high. So now I'm like, you and I must make a pact. And I'm like, I'm not going to get this part. I was like, at least when they have me read, I know I'll take these guys out because I know I can read, right? I know these guys are singers, but I'm the actor in the bunch. They had me read. No, they didn't even get, I didn't even get to the read. They were like, after I finished, I came out, I sat down, and I could tell people in the audience were like, eesh. I mean, in the audition were like, eesh, it didn't go that well. And they're like, and I'm sitting there. And my grandmother's like, you did all right, baby. Don't worry about it. And, they come on, they go, Donald, you can leave now. Thank you. And I was like, oof. And like, I had my suitcase. Like, we had just got off the plane. Like, all of that shit. Like, you know what
so
I mean?
Rough.
Like, it hurts. And then that night, we hung out with the other girl who didn't get the part also. And we went bowling and all of that stuff. But I just remember walking. As soon as I was done singing, they were like, thank you, Donald. And I was like,
And all because the pianist wasn't playing it in your key.
No, all because Tevin Campbell got in my freaking soul and destroyed all my confidence.
It always sucks when you can, you know, sometimes for those of you who don't know, when you're in an audition room, you can hear, it's like you're just outside the door. And so you can hear other people going. And that just can be such a mind fuck. But it can be a boost if the person sucks and you're like, right. Oh, I remember sitting in waiting rooms when I first got out to Hollywood, and I'd look around the waiting room and I'd just be so insecure, and all these guys were so good looking, and I'd be like, I'm never gonna, what the fuck am I doing here? And these guys are like models. And then I'd hear them go and I'd be like, oh, well, I can act. I've got a shot.
Remember when Sean Wayans sent you to the bathroom?
Yeah, so, no, not Sean, Marlon.
Marlon.
So I grew up with Marlon Wayans, Omar Epps. They went to LaGuardia, and this my brother, my friend Mitch. And the three of them, they're like best friends. They're like the three amigos. But I used to ride the bus from my school all the way up to 125th Street, where the National Black Theater was, pretty much every day. So I would, and they would ride all the way uptown too. So I was always with them, and you know, I got to know them, and we would laugh and shoot the shit all the time, and you know, sometimes hang out after school. Like, you know, it was they were friends of mine. And one, I didn't know Marlon was an actor, and one time I went on an audition and he was there, and I was like, hey man, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm auditioning. He's like, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm auditioning. I was like, where's the room at? Oh, he says, it's down the hall, it's that way. Go through that door, and then around the corner, and then it's like the last door all the way down the corridor. And I was like, thanks, man. I was like, break a leg. He was like, you too. It looked like he was getting on the elevator. I walk all the way down there.
No.
After signing in.
No.
I walk all the way down there, and it turns out to be the bathroom. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I come all the way back, and where the sign-in sheet was the door to go into the audition. So I opened the door to go into audition, and he's sitting in the room smiling at me like, hey, man. And he totally mind-fucked me. I didn't get that part either, man.
There's so many tricks that people do as actors in the waiting room. Like, there's the guy who tries to keep you talking.
Talking the whole time.
Yeah,
fuck that,
so you're
dude,
not
man.
So you're not getting in your head about, like, getting in your great headspace to go in and kill it. Did I tell you guys about the guy who used to come out of every audition crying? I forgot about the sister.
I did.
In case you missed that, the short version is he'd come out, he'd be crying, and we would all be looking at the pages like, where the fuck is the crying scene? And he would just throw it in because he could cry on cue like that. And he'd be like swiping his tears. He'd come out like, good luck, everybody, break a leg. And we're like, what's going on? And then I once finally asked him, I was like, dude, why are you crying in every audition? He's like, oh, people love it when you can cry like that. They don't care if it's even in the scene. They think you're a good actor. I'm like, well, how do you do that? He goes, I just think of anyone doing anything mean to animals. And I was like, well, and I'm sitting there like thinking of people doing mean things to animals, and no tears are coming. I'm like, fuck.
Fuck that guy, dude. I hate that, man. I mean, I love it. It's a great skill to have, but you know, crying doesn't make you a good actor.
No, I know. I'm just talking about going off of what you said about all the shenanigans that happen in casting waiting rooms, people trying to mind fuck each other.
Yeah.
It still happens. Like, I'll go on auditions now. Like, I auditioned for a television show 2 years ago when everybody was auditioning and you could still go out. And this one person in the waiting room just kept talking to me. And I was like, dude, I know what you're doing. Please stop, man. It's okay. You don't have to do this. We're all going to get our
shot. You're better than this.
Right.
You're better.
Yeah.
Don't have to do this, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he just kept doing it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just step outside.
Yeah. Since I've been an agent.
We should get into that story before we...
We can do them simultaneously, but yeah, Shirley, tell us about what you're about to say, and then I want to ask you a question about agent.
Right. Well, since I've been an agent, there was a mother that would take her child to the audition, and they would bring their boa constrictor with them. So if you could imagine a bunch of kids in an audition, and somebody walks in with a boa constrictor.
Right. They're, all the kids are going crazy for the snake. Right.
Yeah,
pet the snake and hold the snake and not really concentrate.
Or be afraid of the snake
or whatever it is.
It can be such a, you know, you can work a week on an audition. It's like the, you know, it's the analogy I often think of is the Olympics, in that it doesn't matter how long you trained. It doesn't matter how great you were in your home gym or in your living room. All that matters is what you do when you walk in that room, and you can get so easily, well, it's easy to get mind fucked by what's happening outside the room and what's going on in your head that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The distraction is real, and you only get one shot when you go on an audition too. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that they don't, you know, that's the thing that they don't train you for. You mm-hmm. can rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. One slip up and, you know, casting most likely is moving on. You know, for the most part, if you can walk in and give perfection when you audition, you're most likely going to get the part. If you have the look, that's a bonus. But if you can deliver that one time, right now, deliver.
Yeah.
They're going to hire
in an interesting way that's unique and different.
Mm-hmm. Right. And different from everybody else.
But wait, Shirley, I want to go back to just like keeping in Donald's career. So then what was the next big thing, Donald? Was it Clueless or Titans?
No, I didn't. I did a bunch of really small indie movies that turned out to be really big before that. Before I did Clueless and before I did Remember the Titans. Like I did this movie Sugar Hill. Well, I did a bunch of television, like, you know, like little parts here on TV, and we met Wesley Snipes. And I remember I auditioned for Sugar Hill and got the part, and I had worked. Wesley Snipes walked me and my mom home to the subway. Was it to the subway or was it, what was it?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Okay, so when I got a small part where I was where New York was, the name of the show was called Help, and New York was overrun by rats in one of the episodes. And I had one line and you know, they made me dress up like I was a street thug. And, you know, the news is on me and I'm rapping to the camera. And I go, hey, New York, don't worry about nothing. We here to do some serious rat busting. And I got a bat in my hand, right? And Wesley Snipes plays like a cop on the show. And after I did that scene, he walked with me and my mom to the subway station. He walked us to the subway station. He gave us his whole spiel on, you know, who he was and what he had, you know, what he was up to. About 4 years later, I guess it was my senior year, and it wasn't my senior, junior or senior year in high school, I got a part. I started getting small parts in movies. Juice was first, and then Sugar Hill. And Wesley Snipes was in Sugar Hill. And I remember we're doing a bunch of scenes and stuff. And I was like, you don't remember where you met me, do you? He's like, of course I do, man. We met on 911 back, you know, a few years ago. I'm really happy you're here right now. And I was like, holy shit, Wesley Snipes remembers me. This big, huge star remembers me. But there were small roles in small movies that turned out to be like either a hood classic, like Juice and Sugar Hill are straight hood classics, man. Michael Wright's in one, is in Sugar Hill. Like, it's. I was very lucky to be around a lot of the people I grew up with in the building that my mom lives in now. So, like, Wesley Snipes, Michael Wright, all of these actors would come and frequent Manhattan Plaza.
Yeah, what was it, Shirley, about that building that attracted so many actors?
Well, what happened was that Manhattan Plaza was supposed to be a luxury building, and because the convention center was supposed to be built where it is now, but years before, the convention center didn't happen then, and so the Actors Equity and SAG lobbied for the building to be a residence for artists.
But so, who was the person who spearheaded that, Punjab from Annie, right? The guy who played.
Yes, Joffrey Holder.
Joffrey Holder.
Joffrey Holder was one of the people.
Wasn't he the 7-Up guy?
Yeah. Sebastian from Little Mermaid too.
Yeah. There were quite a few people that wanted it to be an artist complex. So 70% of the people that moved into the building were either performing artists or artist personnel. So screenwriters like Angela Lansbury lived here. Tennessee Williams lived here. Nell Carter. And Alicia Keys was grew up with Shun here, and it was a building. It is still a building for performing artists.
Wow. So it's still that way. They still have that. Wow.
Yes, yes. I mean, and it's so amazing because I'm on the Tenants Association here. I'm one of the VPs. And we try to make sure that we have things in the building that support artists and support. So like during COVID, we did concerts on the plaza.
Which is where a playground.
Where people could actually sit on their balconies and listen to the music.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then on the quiet part, which is another part, we'd have string orchestras out there. And so that people that lived in that area would be able to view it.
When I think about it, Mom, you set me up to be what I am right now because of, you know, your tenacity to get into the building, first of all. Like, you mm-hmm. were like, I'm going to get us into this building. And
yeah,
you did that. And so then now I'm surrounded by all of these actors and musicians and entertainers and writers and like Larry David's from Manhattan. Seinfeld is based on Manhattan Plaza. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Larry David's neighbor.
Right. Kramer, Kenny Kramer, I grew up with his daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, I was always around actors, so it was always a possibility in my mind. I can do it. I've seen my neighbor do it. My next door neighbor's on freaking Broadway. You know what I mean? So I always thought.
And you're right in the middle of it. I mean, you're a block from Times Square where it's all happening.
Mm-hmm. But not just that. But then I would go uptown to Harlem, and my mom's directing plays, and you know what I mean? So I'm like, I can do this. I know I can do this. It's in my blood. I'm seeing my mom do it. I know I can do it. And so I knew at a very young age I was going to be an actor. And it's really because of you, Mom, because you kind of set me up to be where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. You know, people talk about momagers and everything like that. My mom wasn't a momager or anything like that. But I missed out on quite a few things. Like, I was a pretty good athlete. I missed out on basketball. I missed out on baseball. Like real big games and stuff. My mom would be like, you have an audition. And I would never get those parts, but she was setting me up for, you know, success. And I appreciate that so much, Mom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/realfriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/realfriends. Have you tried the new Target Circle? It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. And try the new Target Circle 360. It's for the VIP Target shoppers. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Shirley, tell us about what was a big, like, he was getting these smaller parts, and then what did you feel? And I don't know the chronology, if it was Clueless or Titans, but what was like a oh shit next step for Donald's career?
How about this, Mom? When were you like, oh shit, he's going to do it? He's really going to do it?
No, I knew he was going to do it from the very beginning, and it wasn't. You know, there's sometimes when there are kids that. There's a point in their life where they do a whole bunch of stuff and then they don't do anything else.
Yeah.
He had a steady, constant career. So maybe he might do one thing a year or two things a year, but he would always do something. So I knew that it was something that was constant. It wasn't something that was just, oh, he's cute right now, and so he's going to work right now. Mm. I was really clear that he was going to there was going to be longevity in his career. And so we supported him in doing that. And I remember one year we went to the movies to see something. I don't remember what it was, but the preview for upcoming attractions came on, and there he was. And it was New Year's Eve, I think, that we had gone to the movies, and it was like, oh my God, his scene was in the coming attraction, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing, you know.
What movie was that, Donald? Do you
probably
remember?
Remember the Titans.
No, it was before Remember the Titans.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think I. Yeah. Okay, sure. I remember when I knew that it was. I knew that I had reached a level when I was. Disney rented out a movie theater for my mom and all of her friends and myself to go watch Remember the Titans.
Wow. Yes.
Before it came out.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was when I was like, holy shit, it's you know, I had done Clueless already, I had done Waiting to Exhale already, but that's when I was like, holy shit. Like, there's a scene in Notorious where Biggie's sitting down and he's listening to Sky's the Limit. He's like, holy shit, I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. I'm the best rapper alive. I did it. Mm. And I didn't think I was the best actor alive, but I was like, holy shit, I did it.
Yeah.
I'm in a movie with an actor my mom has always talked about my whole, ever since I can remember, Denzel, like this, like I used to make a joke. There's three pictures in the house growing up. There was a picture of Jesus, a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King, and then a picture of Denzel Washington. You know what I mean? Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. I used to make that. Yeah, right? And so I remember being there and seeing my mom, my friends, everybody like caught up in this movie and not really thinking about me in the movie, just being caught up in the moment, you know what I mean? In the magic, and saying, holy shit, I did it. I finally did it. I knew walking out of that theater, my mom was on cloud nine because of it. I don't know if she liked Clueless. I don't know if you liked, I'm sure you liked Waiting to Exhale, but I knew you were on cloud nine when you walked out of the theater after watching Remember the Titans. Because everybody else was, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing about Remember the Titans also that I loved was the historical element about it. And I remember watching it, and there was a moment where everybody, all my friends, we all just stood up. I mean, it was just so emotional,
yeah.
You know,
And yeah. It holds up. I mean, I just recently saw it for the first time, which Donald loves to talk about. But I, you know, it holds up today. I was on the verge of standing up and applauding when I watched it in my house.
It's one of the, yeah, I knew after that, I was like, you know, whatever happens after this is gravy. I had no idea that Scrubs would be next. Like, it went from, my 20s were fucking awesome because of the work that I got to do. Clueless, yeah. Remember the Titans, Waiting to Exhale, Scrubs, like all of those things came into play yeah. in my 20s.
And, Shirley, and do you remember, just now that he brought up Scrubs, do you remember like that, like finding out that he got it, like knowing that he was a serious contender for it and that all of a sudden he got this primetime show?
She knew nothing about it until we came to Upfront, and I took her to Upfront.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What's Upfront. That story? Mm-hmm. You didn't want to have her be.
Well, I had been on several television shows before Scrubs that. Were,
yeah, he had done Clueless and Felicity, and
right,
that were struggling to stay on the air. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like really struggling.
So then, what did you tell her at the Upfronts? Like, how did that go down?
I was like, "Hey, I got a show. Do you, why don't you come with me to Upfront?" That's the year that they were like, "Donald, you didn't get the memo." It was that year.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. yeah. We went.
Was
to
that year one?
Yeah, we all went to our first big event, and we were all dressed up, and Donald's like in sweatpants. And I remember like some photographer was like, "What's the matter, Donald? Didn't get the memo?"
Right. But anyway, my mom for the first time saw, because you know they would play a sizzle reel of the show at the Upfront, and she saw it for the first time. She was like, "It's really good. Mm. Oh my God, it's so good! I can't believe this is so good." And I was like, "Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes." And that night, I gave Jeff Zucker a noogie.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Mom, I want to talk about one thing. So let's talk about how you became an agent.
Yeah.
Because that was really interesting to me. I remember you just always being like, "I'm going to be involved in your career." And I remember me always fighting you, saying, "There's no way I'm ever going to let you be a part of all of this." And then the next thing I know, you were working at my agent's office.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I became it was a life change, a career change, because I had been working in theater. I had been a development officer. I'd been a director. I'd been a producer. I'd been executive director. And at some point I got burnout, and also me and Donald's father broke up. So I worked with him, and so I wanted to do something different. And Shun was working at the agency when he wasn't working, you know, pulling pictures and doing.
Why don't you tell him the name of the agency? You can tell him the name of the agency.
Oh, Carson Adler Agency. Mm-hmm. So
very
Shun
famous
was
agency in New York.
Yeah. So Shun was working at the agency as an assistant. And he was going to go to do something. It wasn't Clueless because I was there when he got Clueless. It was something else he was going to test for or something. And
he I asked was you like, to cover for me.
Yeah, you did. You asked me to cover for you. Well, because I wanted to shift what I was doing. And so I covered for him, and when he got back, he didn't have a job.
By the way, this sounds like the funniest movie. I would so watch this movie. A guy has a job, and he's like, "Mom, I need a favor. Cover for me."
I came back. They were like, "You can't work here no more." I was like, "Wait, what are you talking about?
Your mom's running the place."
They're like, "Well, yeah, I mean, now it's to the point where she's a partner." And you know,
no, I'm saying, of course, I want to hear that. But I think it's funny that your mom was doing your job so well that they were like, "No, bro, sorry, you're gone."
Well, I was horrible at the job. Like, I sucked at it. I was really bad. It has a lot to, there was a lot of typing and spelling and reading involved. And Zach, you know me, I'm not strong in any of those categories. So
yeah.
I had to relinquish that job.
And that was before word processing. So it was a typewriter.
Right.
I went and I covered for him. And I communicated that I wanted to become an agent. And so after about 6 months of being, quote unquote, an assistant, I got myself franchised. And so Carson Adler was known as a children's agency. And Nancy asked me what I wanted to do. And it's hard working with parents. It really is. And so I said I wanted to focus more on young adults and adults. So I started the young adult vision of the division of the agency.
And become quite successful. Let's talk about some of the people that you represented or some of the people that have come through that agency that are now big time in Hollywood.
Well, one of my clients was Constance Wu. I represented her right out of college.
Wow.
I represented Laz Alonso. I've represented Bebe Winans, Stephanie Mills, Robin Givens.
Let's talk about some of the kids that you used to take to their auditions. Like, did you ever used? Is it true you used to take Kristen Bell to her auditions?
Yes, I did. I did, because she would fly in from Chicago.
Wow.
And Nancy would pick her up from the airport and bring her to the agency. And then I would take her to her auditions. And then Nancy would take her back to the airport. And she would fly back to Chicago at the end of the day.
Wow. I ran into Leah Michelle. Is that her name?
Yeah.
And same thing with her, right?
Yeah, well, Leah lived in New York,
right?
So she actually would go on her own auditions, but she would come in the office a lot. And Bethany Joy Lenz, David Krumholtz.
Krumholtz, I remember Krumholtz back in the day.
Yeah, I was a kid actor at a place called Fox Albert. You remember them?
Oh, yes, I do. I remember Fox Albert.
So that's where I was, and it was a similar situation to you. I'd come in, and I was too young sometimes. I was too young in the beginning, and I'd have a guardian or someone with me, and sometimes someone from the agency would take me around because I was so young and wide-eyed and didn't know New York.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how many people come up to me in Hollywood. You know, it used to be everybody who was African-American. Like, your mom was my agent in New York City.
It happens to me, too.
Right.
By the way, when I walk around Manhattan or the Theater District, people know that I know you, obviously, and they use Shirley as a way to start talking to me. They're like, I know Shirley Faison. And I'm like, okay. Everybody knows Shirley Faison. We're in the Theater District. Calm down.
But that's something that you really, like, that's where you thrive also. Like you have people that turned into movie stars and stuff like that, but you thrive on Broadway and off Broadway, right?
Yeah. Well, before the pandemic, cause Broadway's not happening right now, but, Hamilton, Lion King, name a show.
What was the one that Zach and I love so much?
You'll have to be more specific.
the one with the Josh Gad was in.
Oh, a Book of Mormon.
Oh, yes, I've had people in Book of Mormon. Yes.
Shirley, this is a question I get all the time, and I never know the answer to it because I was a kid actor, and I had a weird kind of way into the business. But for those people listening who either they or they have a child that aspires, like, how do you even begin to get an agent in 2021? Like, I don't even know what to tell people how to do it.
There's several ways. As an agent, I go to showcases. So, and if there's a reputable school that you go to and they do a showcase, I'll go to the showcase if they hold a showcase. And I will see who I like and speak to the person who teaches the classes about that particular person. Or a teacher might say, you know, I have an incredible student that I would like for you to see. Also,
go ahead, Mom.
Also, I go to shows off-Broadway, off-Broadway, little theaters. And if there's someone that I like, I will speak to whomever to get in touch with them. Sometimes I might see a YouTube video.
Really?
And it's like, oh, my God, that person's amazing. And I might try to reach out to them. That's a little, you know, if a person has a whole lot of followers, then, you know, a larger agency is going to try to scoop them, grab them before I can get to them. But the most important thing,
it seems like, is to find a way to not only be in something,
right,
but then get talent agents to come to the thing. I mean, that's the most important thing, is to have them see you do something.
Right. Yes, exactly.
You guys don't do open calls anymore? Like, have people come in and just...
Well, I have to do that with Screen Actors Guild and with Actors Equity Association. Mm-hmm. But as far as people just coming into the office and doing an open call that way, no, I make appointments. And now during COVID, I do Zoom appointments.
When I was at my last year at Northwestern, we had a showcase, and that was really helpful. We did, they invite casting directors and agents and managers, and you do like a dramatic monologue and a dramatic scene and a comedic scene. And, you know, I don't think anything really fully materialized from it, but it was like a good experience. And then I got some nimbles, and mm-hmm. I remember one of them was from Blue Man Group, because they were just looking for anyone that was 6 feet tall.
Willing to put on that blue makeup.
Yeah, and I was like, we can, basically their attitude was like, we could teach you everything. We could teach you to drum. We could teach you to whatever you need to do. But we need to be 6 foot tall and willing to shave your head and turn blue. And I was like, no, I'm good. Thanks, Blue Man Group.
And then flash forward to Blue Man Group on Scrubs.
Right. And then we had them on Scrubs. There you go.
Yeah.
We have a caller, Mom.
Your mom might not even know that we take callers.
We take callers on this show for, you know, the three times that you've listened. I'm sure you probably...
We don't know if you've made it to the caller section during the three times you've listened.
Yes, I have. Okay.
So we're gonna invite a caller in, and they're gonna ask two questions, right, Joel? And then we do a segment called Fix Their Life, where we're gonna enlist you to help us fix their life.
Okay.
We become pop psychologists for 10 minutes.
Okay.
We need to
take
a break.
Before we do that, we'll go to break, though, right?
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Have you tried the new Target Circle? It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. And try the new Target Circle 360. It's for the VIP Target shoppers. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back.
And we're back. All right. So, Joel, Daniel, bring in the guest and let's wow them on a Sunday. Or here a comes, Tuesday, my birthday, when you're listening
indeed.
To this.
Indeed. Here comes Teddy Shapiro.
Teddy Shapiro. All right.
Give it up for Theodore Shapiro.
There he is. is.
Thunderous applause, Dan.
Hi, Teddy Shapiro.
Thunderous applause.
Oh, my God.
There you are. You honor me. How are you, Theodore?
How are you, Theodore?
I am great. Thank you, Donald. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
We have my
lovely mother, Shirley Faison, with us.
Mrs. Faison, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ted?
I'm good, thank you.
And that's, of course, legendary Daniel and legendary Joelle.
Pleasure. Welcome.
And that right there is the one and only Zach Braff.
Yes, I have on my terry cloth shirt for you today because it's a gorgeous day in Los Angeles.
Beautiful day in Chicago.
I didn't want you to see me naked, so I put my terry cloth shirt on.
Thank you.
Welcome to the program. We're so happy you're here. You have the added advantage of having the legendary Shirley Faison on the program. Do you have a question for us that we can answer?
I do. My first question is for Donald and Zach is, you know, I know you guys are best friends, but when did you guys first feel like that connection? And when did you guys first realize like, oh, this is going to be my man and my man for like ever?
Instantaneously.
Donald
has a different answer.
Instantaneous.
He had me at first hip hop hug.
Right on. It wasn't a hip hop hug, Dick.
It was a hip hop hug, Donald.
It wasn't Dick Knight.
Are you implying we went groin to groin in Bill's living room? I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure we went groin to groin.
No, I think there was the arm barrier.
There was no barrier. There was no barrier. It was a hey, 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 yeah. And then a big hug.
Donald was. I've said this before, but I was nervous because I knew who he was. Obviously, he was a famous actor, and I was kind of like, "What's this going to be like? He's going to play my best friend. Will he be cool? Will he be arrogant? Well, what's the vibe going to be?" And we were in Bill's and Krista's living room, and he was at the bar. There was a little bar area, and he turned around, and he went, "Hey!" And I was like, "Oh, I already love this guy." And then we had a big hug, which may or not been groin to groin. I don't recall, And we never looked back. Donald, when did you think that you realized that you
I knew me? We were best friends when we were living in New York 1 year after the first season of Scrubs. We were living in New York, and we were in our underwear playing ping pong.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that's my best friend.
Yeah. Yep. It was legendary.
I had to
break it to Donald that his room was the laundry room because I had gotten there first. And he was like, I'm not Benson.
So I wound up staying like on a cot right outside of his.
No, it wasn't a cot. It was a bed. It was very intimate. We basically shared a room.
Yes.
Oh, look at the martini coming out of Teddy. All right, Teddy.
Teddy, it's early. Look at you. Oh, it's not early. Chicago. You're in Chicago.
What is it? It's seven or six?
Six.
All right. Nice.
All right. Go for yours. All right, Teddy, next question. Go.
What actor, producer, writer, director kind of had the most profound impact on yours and Donald's career from, you know, going forward?
I'm going to give a controversial answer, but I'm going to give you the true answer, which is Woody Allen. And I know that that's extraordinarily because of all the stuff we're learning now. Mm-hmm. But when I was growing up, he was a godhead to my family. He was my parents' favorite. It's all, you know, the humor was what we grew up on. It was, you know, that sort of East Coast neurotic Jewish guy. And I think it did inform a lot of my comedic timing. He wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. There were others like Neil Simon and Mel Brooks. But definitely my mother and father's love of his movies was sort of ingrained upon us. That's what was funny. That was that comedic timing and his style of storytelling was definitely very impactful. And I think impactful on the films that I make as well.
So I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. So Harrison Ford and Billy Dee Williams are, you know, like when I was a kid, that was what was cool to me. When I got to high school though, Kadeem Hardison was I idolized Kadeem Hardison. I even had the glasses that flipped up. You know what I mean? He played Dwayne Wayne on A Different World, which was a spinoff from The Cosby Show. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was, you know, everything. Like, I even tried to dress like him. Any movie that he was in, from, like, School Days to Vampire in Brooklyn, I had to see it, you know? And White Men Can't Jump. And he's also the one that kind of, when I was at a point where I needed to, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I performed in front of him once, and he came up, you know, it was a bunch of us performing, but I had a monologue. And after the show was over, he came to me and hugged me and squeezed me tight. He was like, yo, man, that was amazing. And he kind of set me on the adult path of, yo, if Kadeem Hardison says I could do it, if the dude that I tried to be like came here and told me I was amazing, I'm going for this. And yeah. Kadeem, and then also Denzel Washington.
Yeah. Does Kadeem, does he still work? He
was so absolutely.
Talented. I haven't seen him that much, but he was so good.
So I really saw him in something recently. There was it was a short-lived TV series.
No, he was on a long-lived TV series with Zendaya. He was on her, they did a television show together.
Okay.
On Disney, I think.
Okay.
And I think he might be working right now on something.
Mm-hmm.
He was so, there was a point in our, you know, our childhoods when that show was at its height of popularity and everybody looked up to that guy. He was mm-hmm. like the ultimate, you know, he was kind of like a Ferris Bueller type character.
Yeah,
you know?
He was, I hate to compare it like that, but yeah, he was like the black Ferris Bueller. Like he was the dude that was kind of a geek, but somehow got the hot girl and.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Casey Undercover. That's what it was.
He used his charms to win over the ladies.
Yeah, Jasmine Guy and Lisa Bonet were the two ladies that he used mm-hmm. his charm to win over.
You know what you know what happens when you say the word Lisa Bonet to me? I hear this.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. I heard that.
Woo!
Zoe too, man. Zoe fine too. Don't get it twisted. She looked just like her mom.
Daniel, I need this put in the sound pad. Woo!
Gotcha. I'll send it on over.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Have you tried the new Target Circle? It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. And try the new Target Circle 360. It's for the VIP Target shoppers. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, she's still a knockout, man. She's prettier than ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her daughter is like an amazing actress too.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's time for Chicago's favorite segment. Shirley, this is when we
fix your life.
All right, sir, we are here and we have a very brilliant mind, Shirley Faison, who's a great mom and a great agent she can help too. What is your question?
So I'm 24, you know, just out of college, and I'm still trying to find my passion. I'm in a job that, you know, I like what I do, but I don't necessarily see myself doing it long term. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, you've all clearly found your passion and what you want to do in your life. And I'm just trying to figure out, how do I do that with mine? Mm.
Mom, what do you love more than anything?
That's a hard question. I mean,
what do you do? What like when you forget anything that is a job related thing, like take money out of the equation. When you, what's happening in your life that you're looking forward to that you go, oh my God, I can't wait for that. I mean, it could be camping. It could be traveling. It could be anything and everything that lights you up, that makes you go, yes, XYZ is happening. What is that?
Well, I don't know if Joelle told you, but I actually am a cancer survivor. I'm a pediatric cancer survivor. So something that I do find a lot of joy and passion in is working with, you know, kids who are in that kind of community and, you know, helping with that.
Well bro, that's a pretty amazing place to start.
If you're not doing that now, I would suggest, getting into that, especially if it makes you happy. Mm-hmm. At the foundation of everything, you have to be happy, right? We all get into jobs, and at some point, we realize this isn't for me. For me, it was being an agent, an assistant at an agent's office. I knew I didn't want to do that after a few days of doing it, even though I was getting paid. What made me happy was being an actor, and so my whole life I pursued that. My mom was in theater. You could tell them if you want to, but she was in theater, and halfway through her, I don't know what it's, how old were you when you decided to switch, Mom?
You never 40. Asked a woman her age, Donald.
I was 40.
So you 25. Were 40 years old. 25.
Donald. Right. You were 40 years old. So at 40, she was looking for something that would make her happy, and she became an agent. If that makes you happy, why not do it?
Teddy, I just want to point something out to you. You were kind of like shoulders over a little bit, kind of soft-spoken. And then as you started talking about being a pediatric cancer survivor and helping someone, your shoulders went back, your face lit up, your whole posture changed. It's like there's something in you that lights up, giving back, the fact that those people who obviously, I'm sure, made a difference in your life when you were a child battling cancer. And I mean, that just goes to show you, like, that's when Donald and I talk about performing or entertaining, that's what happens to us. We lean forward, we get passionate, we start just gesticulating all over the place. And I think for you, that's a good place to look. Now, I don't know, you wouldn't know better than us about what that looks like if you're not going to go to medical school. But I'm sure there's lots of different people that made a difference in your life that you could take on a similar role for children, other children, right? Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Right on. I guess you're welcome.
What was your major in college?
Not yet. Not yet.
What was your major in college?
I majored in management and minored in general business and finance.
And what are you doing now?
I'm working as an audit and an accounting at a Fortune 500 company.
So you're doing what you went to school for, pretty much?
More or less, yeah.
Right.
I'm just, yeah, doing numbers.
And you're ready to shift?
I think, at a certain point, I think I am, because this is, I'm not driven by what I'm currently doing, you know?
Yeah. Now, what could you do to set you on the course to something that's in the spirit of what we're talking about?
I want to parlay to be able to, if I could be able to like work in this industry and be able to provide for, let's say, my future family and beyond, that's something I'd want to take an interest in, because, you know, having that, you know, support, having, you know, monetary gain is semi-important to me as well. So it's just kind of trying to find something where I can marry like having a job that I'm comfortable in, as well as doing something that like I'm able to help know, someone in my position or someone like that. And it's just kind of, it's not an easy medium to find is what I've been looking into.
Yeah. The good thing about 24 is you don't have a family yet. And, you know, obviously you have to pay for your rent and your food and your survival. But but now while you're young and wide-eyed, it's a great time to be trying and exploring these things out. You know, the second you start getting, having people that are reliant on you, you have a lot less freedom and can be way less nimble. You're in a 24 is like, let me try different things. I mean, obviously, I'm not an idiot. I know you need to make enough money to pay for your life, but it's a great time to try out different things and you know, get exposed to new things.
I agree.
Joelle, Daniel, do you have any thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, it doesn't last forever. As soon as I turned 30, suddenly it was like, oh, crap, there's so many things and people to take care of. And yeah, I would say if you're going to do the switch, do it now and like just fully embrace it. I have a lot of friends who switch their careers around the same age as you are now. And like, it's a hustle, but once you get there, oh man, what a joy to do the thing that you love. Like it's still work. Don't let anyone tell you it's not work. Yeah, it's still work, but it is, it's better work.
Yeah. And also, you know, your skills apply to so many different things. Like even if you're not, you know, specifically reaching out to people and talking about your experience, being able to, you know, use your accounting skills, use the skills you've learned in schools to help out an organization that does do that already. And then including yourself into the story of what that organization does, it's a way to, you know, start that transition into a new career without having to completely change your life.
Oh my God, that's great, Daniel.
That was great.
I'm gonna say, I'm through.
Daniel,
amazing.
Fantastic.
Daniel, only one phrase comes to mind.
You honor me. You honor me.
No, listen, by the way, Teddy, that was better advice than I gave. I'm going to piggyback on that. Because
I'm
going to
say whatever Daniel said, that works for me.
No, because it's smart. He's smart. What he's saying is your skill set, bring it to an organization that, I'm just making it up, that specifically caters to and helps families dealing with pediatric cancer and say, hey, not only can I help with the face-to-face stuff, I'm interested in that. I'm a survivor myself. No one has more empathy than me. But I can also bring my accounting skill set. Do you guys need that in your organization? I mean, you're a home run candidate for someone who could be working for an organization like that. That's great, Daniel.
And let's also be real. It's like in the sector of helping people, it's the area that has the least in terms of people who are like able to crunch numbers and people who know money and people who know business. It's like so often those kinds of people, and this is not a dig at those kind of people at all or those kinds of work, but so often those people look for and move into huge companies, big money positions and stuff like that. And, you know, certain organizations that need money or people that are good with money sometimes flounder in those scenarios because people who want to help people have the compassion but don't necessarily always have the business mind or the skill set. So I think you could be a huge asset to those companies.
And also think about it. If you're a parent or a child going through cancer and the young man counseling you is 24 years old, super articulate, has the empathy, and he went through it and survived – Think of the connection the young person would feel as opposed to some older senior citizen or someone they might not be able to relate to. That kid's going to be like, oh my God, look at Teddy. He survived and he's great and he's thriving. And you'd be such a motivation to a young person, I think. Mm. Wow, I'm fired up, Teddy. All right, the good news is because you're an inspiration and because we like you extra a special amount.
Oh, thank you.
And in honor of Shirley Faison's visit, we are going to send you a case of GT's kombucha.
Yay!
Thank you.
Do you like GT's kombucha already, Teddy?
There is a tap at work of kombucha. I've not tried GT's, but I'm excited to try GT's.
Well, buddy, I see a fridge behind you. And what I like to do is stack mine up like I'm in a supermarket. And like, so it looks all neat and aligned. It might be my OCD.
You read my mind.
I like all my bottles stacked up neatly and with the labels facing out. You are getting do we know what he's probably getting an array of flavors, right, Joelle?
A little bit of everything. A sample, awesome. Sampler.
A little sample case. So thank you to thank you to the folks at GTs for that. And what can we say? What we say is you're welcome, Teddy. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I have no doubt that you're going to make a difference in people's lives. Donald and I go out and hopefully make people laugh a little bit and hopefully take their mind off some shit. But you're someone who's going to really have a noticeable impact on people's lives.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Appreciate that.
Amen.
Oh, I appreciate you, man.
Yes.
Ma, don't be shy. You can talk. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not being shy. Okay, I think Teddy's going to make a tremendous contribution to, there's so many organizations, you know, that do such great work. They send me letters every month to give contributions.
And if Teddy changes his mind again and wants to audition for the National Black Theater in Harlem, would there be any opportunity for him there?
I'm sure they let white
people. Hold on now, don't get all crazy. They let white people do. All you got to do is live in Harlem, and you can.
It was an African American company. You're saying you can be white and be in the company.
You can be white and be in the company. They do.
Teddy,
plays
there's hope for you.
Thank you.
You know, yeah.
She's like, you can be white and be in the company. We need bad guys.
Zach.
Oh my God.
But Teddy, it's true. That's true. They do need that. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Or the Great White Hope.
Okay. There you go. All right. What else
on
we got to say?
Let's
wrap it up. Joelle, what are we missing? What do we got to tell people?
Not much, really. I mean,
we should thank everybody for that live show.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks for coming to the live show.
Holy cow, man. Like, we kept it up for a week, and the response was amazing. And so thank you so much for
watching. We're probably going to we had a lot of fun. We're talking about doing one in the summer again, right? For summer.
Yes. Summer jam. I'm ready.
And then I think we should have Sarah and Johnny C on the next one.
Oh.
We've gotten a lot of requests for those two to make appearances again. So
I definitely think we should do one with Sarah and Johnny C. So look for that information coming to you this summer.
We should shout out all the people that are on the front lines, you know, people that we don't talk about. Somebody hit me up on the internet and was like, you know, you guys always talk about the people that work in the hospital and stuff, but there are other people on the front line that are.
I think we got this. Our trash collectors who are still out here. Thank you.
Yes.
Where would the world be without you? People who work in a grocery store. My God,
yes.
Saviors. Thank you for keeping us stocked and fed. We appreciate you. Our teachers and cross guards, everyone who's working in school systems, helping keep children educated when it's really scary to go outside of your house. Bless you. Thank you. Who am I missing?
There are so many more. I just want you to know that if you're out there and you're fighting, you're helping us fight against COVID and keeping America or the world safe, we appreciate you to the max. Like, I can't tell you enough. Your contribution is definitely appreciated. And so thank you very much.
I want to say, yes, thank you for that. And I want to say that the DGA Awards, Shirley, I'm nominated for a DGA Award. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
They're April 10th. And I don't think we're going to record another show before then, right? No. So this is the next Sunday. Next Saturday.
Next Saturday is the awards. We record
next
Sunday.
Okay, so we won't. We're doing one a week for now, guys, because as you know, Donald and I are both working, and we'll come back with a episode rewatch for you next weekend. But so anyway, I've been working on my face because you know what the award shows, the camera's on you. It's going to be a Zoom camera, but they're going to, and you're supposed to, if you don't win, you have to be happy for the other people. So I've been practicing that in case I, do you want to see what it looks like?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so Donald, you just say, and the winner is...
And the winner is not Zach Braff. Wait, but can I ask you a question?
Was that good?
Who are you looking at when you're looking around?
Well, it's funny because, you know, when you're in an audience at an award show, you look around at your people around you and go, oh, he did.
Yeah, but you're in a room by yourself right now.
I know, but my natural instinct as an actor... was to act like I was looking around at my fellow audience members that he deserves.
I bought it, Zach.
You know what I think?
And I combined that with a smile and a head nod. No?
This is what I think. If you're going to do that, you need to make it so the camera is square up on your face like it is with me right now. So that when you look to the side, it's like a Brady Bunch situation. You could even look down probably and up and applaud too.
Okay, because you mean the Zoom window will be all of us like this.
Absolutely.
That's funny.
Okay.
Good call.
Let me try it one more time.
Okay, here we go. And the winner is Rebel Wilson.
Perfect. I guess it's sort of a visual joke.
I think it would be better if you looked disappointed.
Okay, let me do a disappointed version. Right. Donald.
Okay, check it out.
And the
Come on, Donald.
And the winner is Diablo Cody.
Disappointed.
You know, it'd be funny, like, everyone always does the, oh, they deserve to win, I'm happy for them. What if I just did it the other way? Like, this is fucking bullshit.
And you would become an instant Twitter meme.
And I threw something? Like, threw shit?
I dare you. I dare
flip you. Flip my table? What if I flip my table?
Don't do that. Speaking of Diablo Cody, she wrote Powerpuff. And so I'm working with her right now.
Oh, she's a good writer.
Stop it! Yeah. I did not know that. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
This job is so cool, Donald. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. Anyway.
We love you. Please watch Seaspiracy.
You want to say something, Teddy?
Teddy,
yeah,
you want
to? I mean, yeah. When I was going through chemo, it was over 9 months. And, you know, it's back in 2015. So that was when the scrub was over. But having that rewatch and having that, you know, I know you guys say how everyone's so thankful for it now, but I was so thankful for the show as it was going on and having that through, you know, my 9 months, a year of chemotherapy and surgery and all that. It was just such a helpful thing for me. It helped me connect with my doctors and nurses around me. So I just thank you guys for what you guys did and what you guys continue to do today.
Thank you, man.
That means a lot to us. I hope you know how much that means to us. It really does mean a lot. And it makes it all worth it. You know, we just do it to a camera and we don't have any idea. So to hear an anecdote like that from you means a great deal to us. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And Shirley, you are an awesome guest. I hope you'll come back and visit us again.
You want to talk about your book, Mom? Is there anything you want to plug?
Oh, yes. So I wrote a workbook for actors. Yeah. It's called Seven Rules to Thrive as a Performer. And you can get it on Amazon. It's a workbook. So it's interactive, so you have to write things down.
Seven rules to thrive as a performer.
Yes.
Okay, so, and Joelle will put a link in our show notes, and Donald and I will put a link in our bios, and we will. If you're an actor, this could be helpful, and it's a workbook, so it's an interactive thing you have to participate in. So don't be lazy; you got to do the work.
Yes.
All right.
On that note,
we love you all. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.